Hey, y'all, just a quick heads up. The episode you're about to listen to is 8 to 10 years old. Now, these episodes were intended to be evergreen, and I still believe there's a lot of good information in these early episodes, but I do want to let you know that some of my ideas have evolved over time. Times have changed since we made these episodes, and ultimately, I'd like to think I've grown a lot as an artist and a human, and that these don't necessarily represent my best work or the best of the podcast. If you're new around here, I suggest starting with the most recent episode, or at least go back to around 300 and move forward from there. Enjoy the episode. Hey friends, it's me, Andy J. Miller, commercial artist, and you're listening to the Creative Pep Talk podcast. And this show is about commercial art. You know, I want to bring that term back. I want to think about the idea of business and art and trying to hold them in the same vessel, whether it's possible, what I'm learning. And, you know, it's been such a thrill to explore this topic with you, and I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful to be able to bring these episodes to you week after week. So before I get anywhere, let's just say we've got a proud syndicate, illustrationage.com/creative pep talk. You can find the show there. They're a great illustration resource. Today on the show, we have our last episode on rest part 3, an interview with my good buddy Brandon Reich, designer, illustrator extraordinaire, fantastic dude. Always enjoy having a nice long conversation with this man. We get probably deeper than we should on the topic of rest, but it's, you know, that's where we like to go, and that's good. I love this conversation. There's, you know, it's not just about rest. It goes into all kinds of different things. I think that there's a lot of takeaway here. I wanted to spend 3 episodes on this because this is a topic that I don't have figured out. I haven't figured out how to switch off and how to go from being an artist to being a dad, to being a husband, to being a friend, you know. Going in and out of these roles is not easy. I don't think it's easy for anybody that wants to perform on a high level. And you know what? I've gotten better at it over the years. But having these conversations, I think, really did help me. And I hope that they help you too. So without further ado, here is Brandon Reich on the topic of rest. This episode is supported by In The Making, an original podcast brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one content creation app included in your Creative Cloud membership. If you are trying to boost the YouTube, TikTok, Reels content side of what you're doing, one episode of In The Making that I think will be super useful to you is their episode with John Yushai. I think John's method for including his audience in the process is really inspiring. And if you want to hear about that and more about leveling up your game in the creator economy, just search In The Making in your podcast player to listen. Many thanks to In The Making and Adobe Express for their support. Really needed to rehaul my website. I was talking to some web people, looking around, and I got intrigued by Squarespace's new Fluid Engine, partially because it just sounds cool, but also because it allows you to drag and resize and layer up anything you can imagine. I dove in, rebuilt my site. It's the most me site that I've ever had. I just absolutely love it. Launched it,
got such a great response. Some industry illustration and designy peers even reached out and was like, hey, who coded this thing, man? I'm like, y'all, I did it by myself. No coding with Squarespace's new Fluid Engine. I told him, like, you should go check it out. You're going to be surprised with what you can do. And I built this thing before Squarespace reached out to sponsor the show. So I was like, boom, easy peasy. I was going to tell you about this new site anyway. Go check it out, AndyJPizza.com, if you want to see what I did with it. If you want to try it yourself, make a site that's totally you, where you can build a portfolio, sell content and courses and all kinds of other stuff, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with promo code PEPTALK, all one word, all uppercase.
So I wanted to talk to you because I know that you consider yourself to be a type A personality who has worked really hard for what you have achieved, and you have,
yeah,
and all that's true. Now I had a friend of mine, Jeff Bowman, who's featured in this episode, who is good outdoorsy guy. And we both graduated at the same time, and we were both really like passionate about having a career, and he found that letting go and having a chill out period is where he started to really find some really interesting things. And although I feel like I had some experiences like that, I think that there's part of me that, I have a hard time. I can physically step away, but I have a really hard time mentally stepping away.
Yeah.
And I knew that some of that's going to resonate with you. And I just wanted to talk about it with you. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's like a tension. You know, you think about all the work you have to do, but then you think about all the attention that you have to give that work. So the work is sort of an obvious thing to know that, okay, I'm not on my sketch pad. I'm not on my computer. I'm not on any of that stuff. So I'm not working anymore. But your attention is a more abstract thing, and you don't know, you can't turn that off. You can't stop it and say that every day at, you know, 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. that, you know, okay, I can turn the attention off too. That's dedicated to my art. That like never stops.
Yeah.
So the rest, I think, is more like it gives you time to sit and realize why you're doing what you're doing, because in the, you know, hustle and bustle of doing the work and just getting things out the door and constantly like all the production of everything, there is no time to think big picture.
True.
You know, so like, you know, in the 4-hour work week or the E-Myth, you learn these basic principles of there's basically three people needed to run a business. And a lot of times those people are the same person, but there is the technician, the person who actually does the work, does the technical work. So the person drawing the pictures, the person designing the graphics, all that stuff. There's the manager, and that's all the annoying day-to-day stuff like returning emails and writing invoices and all the stuff that isn't necessarily design, but it's work. But then
I'm hoping I'm the third guy.
But then there's the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is the big picture guy.
That's me.
And he's only thinking about what's ahead, and he's always thinking about the big picture and all that stuff. And so
I could just cry. I know. I want to hear all of this really bad. I'm like desperate to hear all of what you're going to say, 'cause I don't know all of this.
Yeah.
But I think a big problem for me is that I'm really mostly number three.
Yeah.
And I have to really force the other things.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah.
And I have, and that's any of the success that I have is due to forcing those other things.
Right.
But I am most purely number three.
Yeah. And the three of those take an enormous amount of time to shift gears between. It's essentially a room that you have to walk backwards out of, sidestep, and walk into the next room to be that. Mm. And mentally, there's different things that happen. So in the transition between doing the three, sometimes Facebook or Twitter's in there, sometimes going and getting the mail is in there, sometimes going getting lunch, sometimes just like, I don't know, wasting time, however you choose to waste time. Those are the gears that you're switching, because you can't just be like, okay, I'm thinking big picture. I got to write an email about a deadline today.
True.
Thinking big picture. I actually have to get this work done and stop thinking big picture so I can switch over to this. So you have to know about those three and kind of know where you're at and understand, oh, I actually probably should realign my workflow so I don't have to switch between this to this, and I can just do all technical work today. And maybe the next day is all managerial work. So I'm returning emails and writing invoices all day. And then maybe one day a week, you're only thinking about entrepreneur. You're updating your website. You're, you know, you're thinking up a new idea. You're writing a new business plan, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you need all three of those. For me, you say that you're the entrepreneur.
True.
I'm the technician.
Right.
And I just
want... I'm aware of this.
I just want to
see it.
I just want to get my head down and do the work. And yes. I want everyone to leave me alone. I don't want to get another email for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Just let me do the thing that I do really well. Because I don't know if I'm the best email returner or the email writer or any of that stuff. But I can do this thing really well. Leave me alone. Let me do it.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't happen. Mm. And I get frustrated that that doesn't happen because I still need to be the manager. I still need to be the entrepreneur.
True.
But the entrepreneur only happens at rest for
me. Right.
So that only happens on the 2-hour drive to my parents' house when I think, oh, you know what I should do? I should try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That only happens during rest. It doesn't happen in the middle of some super like tedious project.
Yes.
It happens when you've given yourself space, you've exhaled, you're breathing, you're not thinking about the next thing you have to do. That openness, that no deadline looming, that time, that's when, that rest, that's when you can think of the next big idea.
And actually, part of the reason I wanted to ask you was because when did we meet? Was it in 2015?
I would say in the middle of 2015 somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
I heard your podcast before I met you.
Yeah.
And then we had a mutual friend who said, hey, this guy puts out this podcast is actually living in your town.
Yeah. So and according to Google, it's 12-minute drive.
12-minute drive. Yeah.
So, the first couple of times we met, we talked a lot about where we were both at and it's different places, I think, in our careers. You've been doing this a little bit longer than me and we're different. We're different types of people. And you were a little bit frustrated or something with whatever zone you were in.
Yeah.
There was tons of awesome things going. Everything was up and running and working smoothly.
Yeah.
And you were a machine killing it, but there was something looming. And then when you stepped away at the conference, which was October, in that rest season, all of a sudden, all these things started, you know, coming up in your mind and that just what you're talking about right now. So what's your plan for, baking that in to your everyday schedule?
There is a practical force yourself to do it type of thing because the ideas are great unless you never execute any of those ideas. So I can think up amazing ideas that, you know, if I had a clone that I could totally do those ideas, that'd be amazing. And then there's the ideas of if you win the lottery, if you had $100 million, what do? You know, which one of your ideas are still around and which ones are you doing for the right reasons, you know? So for me, since we, you know, I've been very frustrated this year, been really burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main source of the burnout is realizing that sometimes the thing I get paid the most to do isn't my best work. So I could make more money doing work that doesn't challenge me, but I know how to do the work that makes me money.
You're right.
So that really screws up everything you thought you knew about being a creative, because being a creative is very much about being driven by a passion, being driven by some type of like excitement. And if all of the work that you have for the day, you know, is going to make you money, but isn't going to make you happy.
Yeah.
It's a really screwed up thing. And even if you're, you know, if I take all this work that I say doesn't make me happy, and then I put a whole portfolio together of it, it's probably going to be fine. It's probably going to look good. But I know those little nuance of the things that I do that really excite me. So part of my whole, you know, so let's say creative works, it took me, I was just basically, I'm frustrated. I am just going to be calm and absorb. That's what I want to do for creative works in October. And then recently, a couple weeks ago, I actually flew to Seattle. So at Seattle, I sat down with Jesse Bryan from Belief Agency and we did this belief session. Mm. So the belief session is basically this kind of like a therapy session that he does with his clients where most of the time we're talking about businesses, but you get to the heart of what the business is. So he's worked for people like Salvation Army, Seattle Seahawks, you know, all these different, you know, different types of companies, but if you get down to the core and the heart of what they are, you'll find something very simple. And that simple credo or that simple sentence kind of makes everything, you know, makes everything make sense. So for me, you know, the process of flying in a plane all the way to Seattle,
the physical distance,
feeling out of my element, being like, this new environment that you're in, I've been to Seattle plenty of times, but this new environment that you're in is going to, in your memory, represent the time when everything changed or the time when you started seeing things differently. So, you know, Jesse actually asked me in an interview I did with him, why did I spend the money to go? And why did I take the time to fly up there? And for me, it was like, I want this experience to be as potent as possible.
Yeah.
And to make it more potent, for me is, you know, like change your environment, make it feel differently than you normally feel. So anyway, the core of the belief session for me was don't let them kill your soul. Mm-hmm. That is me summed up.
Yeah.
So you'll find that everything I do is a little bit dark. The words that I use are a little bit intense. My tone, my vibe, it's all a little bit oddly intense, and that's okay. Mm. But it stems from the fact that I am so passionately trying to help people keep that creative soul that they had when they were 5 years old and they wanted to be an artist for a living or whatever it was, whatever that thing is. I have fought my whole career so that nobody can kill that, whether it be high school art class, whether it be the colleges they told me to go to, even the non-art colleges. You know, I got good grades in high school, so it's like, well, you could go to this and be a doctor or be a lawyer or whatever. Screw you. I don't want to do that.
Yep.
So, then you're an artist. Let's take you to this art school. Screw you. I don't want to go to that art school. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to be beholden to this program or whatever. So I just kept fighting and being like, let me do this the way I want to do it. Let me take this vision and keep sticking to this vision. I will not let you kill my soul. And then, so obviously with that mentality, there's not too many options other than be a freelancer because the other ones involve a boss of some sort, which I wouldn't be good at.
Yep.
So at least throughout all this rest that I've given myself, even the, you know, 3 days I took to go to Seattle, that rest allowed me to not do any work, not have any like plates that I had to keep spinning.
Yep.
It was just me, Brandon, sit down, be calm, and listen and allow room for new ideas and realizations to come into your head. Because the busier I make myself, there's no way any new inspirational thing is going to pop in. I'm just way too busy. I don't have the attention currency available for inspiration to come in. So that's why I need rest.
Do you, so one of the themes that I've been thinking about is that I don't necessarily think work and what you create with your life is very important, and it's towards the top of the things that are important. But so I can see how, you know, part of my answer about the importance of rest comes from when you rest, your work gets better, right?
Yeah.
So, but that is saying that's the ultimate goal to a certain degree, right? And that's kind of the way I think of it. Mm-hmm. But then there's part of me that's thinking about, okay, well, what about the other components in your life? And how your work feeds you to be a better husband or your, you know, all this kind of like give and take. So anyway, that's all kind of side note, but are there times when you can step away mentally from creativity? I struggle with this. That's a loaded question because I do, but it's a challenge for me and I'm looking for new ways to disengage my mind.
I think I can honestly say, and this is something I've just been realizing the last couple of days. I think it's been years since creativity and design was my number one priority in life. Like it's been years because I think everybody assumes that. And I think sometimes an email, you know, obviously my email is full of project requests and stuff. Yeah. I get frustrated, especially around the holidays. Mm. I get frustrated because like, why are you asking me to do this the day before Thanksgiving?
I had someone ask me to spend Thanksgiving weekend working on a project.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you not have a family? Because I'm going to be with my, family, for the next 4 or 5 days or whatever.
Yep.
That's the thing I'm doing. And then after that, I'm going to come home and I'm going to decorate my house for Christmas. And then, last night, I had a flat tire, so I needed to take my car to get the tire fixed and to get all that stuff taken care of. Then after that, we've got to get some stuff at the storage space, and then we got to meet with these other people. Like, my life is going on. So sometimes when I go back to being the technician, that's where it does become valuable, because it's like, listen, you may not be excited and inspired at this moment, but at least you know how to be the technician and keep that engine running, even if your heart's not totally in it. So I think that there's pro and con, where sometimes I'm working slightly uninspired, but I'm really thankful that I can work while uninspired.
True.
Because if everything relied on my emotions, there would be no consistency. And my whole career has been about me being able to be consistent. Emotions are not consistent.
Me neither.
I am moody.
Me too.
So, I'm glad that I don't rely on inspiration before I do work, because I'm working without inspiration all the time.
True.
But the inspiration is that bigger picture, is that thing of, okay, Brandon, but where are you headed, or what do you want to do?
And how do you get to a place where, on your deathbed, obviously you're going to be thinking about family.
Yeah. I don't care about the art that I made on my deathbed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's totally true. But in terms of there is a, well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about that, because it's a good conversation to have. There's a part of me that,
now we're talking about real rest.
We are talking
about
this
is like final rest. It got real rest.
The final rest. Yeah. I know. Golly.
The
man,
final resting place.
But, gosh.
Morbid.
So funny. Oh my gosh. I do this without thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's how my mind works. I'm like, this is all the reality. Let's talk about it.
Let's do a podcast on death.
I can see.
I mean, rest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Let me lighten it up a little. Okay. I am saying that there is part of me that I know my ultimate goal is the dedication to husband and father.
Right.
I know that for a fact. I think money is a weird thing to throw into that.
Yeah.
Because you have to do that well, you have to make a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then work is also, whether you want to think about it in philosophical terms or just plain and simple facts, you spend the majority of your life working.
Yeah.
So
it is who you are.
If that is true, then there is a certain degree of that is your legacy to a certain degree, even if your legacy is wrapped up in other things too. So there is part of me that at the end of it, I want it to have been for something to a degree.
Yeah.
And that what you're talking about, the big picture of being inspired, if you spend a bigger percentage, you can't spend every moment inspired in your work. Totally. That's just not true. And it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
But I do think that getting that spark going and trying to find where that next season that's more inspirational, will in the long run mount up to something a little bit more worthwhile. For me, that looked like, a few years ago, I'm kind of in the illustration world to a certain degree, although I have a lot of qualms with that. I thought, all right, I really want to dig in to what it means to be an illustrator, because I want to be great at it. And, the more options I dug into, the more I saw that whatever realms there are to be quote unquote great in illustration, I knew they weren't going to be me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested in them. I wasn't even interested in competing. And so for me, that turned into some pivoting, and I'm still in the middle of that to try to find an area that feels more worthwhile pursuing. And that came out of rest in the entrepreneurial side. But I don't know. I'd love to hear any thoughts you have on all that. Cause that's
a lot. I haven't made my mind up by any means on what this is.
No, we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'm going to be thinking through this as I say it, but I think right now where I'm at, there's a legacy as far as your art and stuff goes, but that's got to be a secondary legacy.
Right.
If you're a decent human being.
Secondary to what?
Secondary to being a
decent
good
human
husband,
person.
A good son, a good father. Yeah, you have to be a decent human being. Mm. part of being a decent human being is about being passionate about what you do every day.
Yeah.
So being passionate about what you do. See, I don't need my kids to be artists. Uh-huh. I just need them to, I need them to look up to their dad because they're passionate. He's passionate about what he's doing. He's excited about what he's doing. Mm. It doesn't matter if they build cars or whatever, if they mow lawns or landscapers, whatever they do. I don't care what you do. Just be passionate about it. If you work at Starbucks, if you work at McDonald's, if you're the trash man, whatever it is that you do, get fired up about that. Do that thing. So more than anything, I feel like my message for people is I don't care what you do, just be passionate about it, because there's passion in you somewhere. And if you let that passion die, we're missing out on it. Mm-hmm. So if I can inspire people to be passionate about what they do, we make better human beings.
True. Totally true.
So if the goal of my whole entire thing is make better human beings, mm-hmm. then that seems pretty legacy worthy.
It is.
That seems pretty a valiant effort. Just so happens that my method of doing that, my vehicle for doing that is art, because I was gifted with a talent to do art and I decided to be passionate about it. And you know, the harder I worked, the luckier I got. And this is the career that I have now, but it's gotta be secondary, because there are, I mean, you look at people like, I don't know, I don't want to, like,
you don't have to name names.
Well, I'll just name names because he's big.
Right.
Michael Jordan isn't that great of a human being.
Right.
He's just great at basketball.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, You know, a lot of people find out that Michael Jordan's actually kind of a jerk. So, but man, he's
I know
great.
Michael Jordan's listening to this.
Yeah, I know.
Just getting
Michael,
really
I'm sorry.
Angry.
Thanks for all you did. But I love Michael Jordan. So many people love Michael Jordan. He left a legacy.
Absolutely.
But,
oh, I've had this conversation a billion times, by the way.
But deathbed Michael Jordan, who cares, man? If you don't have a bunch of people who just think you're the greatest father or the greatest husband or the greatest grandfather, whatever, like, screw that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that gets down to the heart of what it is. So I want to know that, you know, I am spreading intensity and passion mm-hmm. for what I do, whatever it's going to be. I guess that's final rest.
it all comes back to death.
I was like, where did we get there from rest?
No, I don't know. But there's a really good quote that I can't think of offhand, but it's the heart of it is, you know, I think it's something like this. Can't remember who said it. I'll try to look it up and maybe add it later, but can you be a great man and a good man?
Mm-hmm.
And that being a pretty poignant thing. And in terms of what I talked to Jeremy Slagle about, one of the things was perpetuating the idea of this crazy, intense, white knuckle passion hustle, you know, pedal to the metal. Every waking hour of your life is the only way to leave a good legacy or to actually make any headway in the creative world. And although, you know, I do think I spent a season more in that zone mm-hmm. and I still am working really hard and lots of hours and all that to a certain degree. You're saying, I think, and you can tell me if this is right, that it's within the rest that you find the inspiration. You when everything settles down, you get in tune with, am I still passionate about this thing that I'm doing?
And if you're not still passionate about it, how do you have to change your goal, or what new goal do you have to make so that you can have a clear vision for where you're headed next? So I could change my next year. You know, I don't know when this podcast comes out, but we're coming up to the end of the year. So it's New Year's resolution time.
Yep.
So, I could, you know, set a goal for the end of 2016. I want to whatever. So then that gives me a new site, but I can only think of that at the end of 2016 when I'm not busy, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm not, you know, that's either going to come in the morning, before I'm working and my head's clear, or at just some like unpredictable excitement time, and who knows when that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with rest, those come a little more often.
Yep.
Your brain's a lot more open to those new ideas. So I think that, you know, about the hustle, I honestly can say that when I see this crazy hustle being preached,
mm-hmm.
I have to believe that they don't have a real life to go to.
Right.
And that may be a sad thing. And maybe that's just the reality of people's experience, but you know, I've been married for almost 10 years now.
Yeah, and congrats.
There's another person in my life that is way more important than me.
True.
You know, so that, you know, her happiness is way more important than my ability to design. Mm. But I'm lucky that my passion also drives her and inspires her. So that's a part of our relationship, is that I'm a inspired dude doing what I want to do with my life. But I also know that as great as my career may be, it's never going to be number one priority ever.
Yeah.
And like mowing the lawn is a bigger priority to me over, you know, getting ahead on a project. If I've met all my deadlines that day, you know, get out of here. I need to mow the lawn.
Right.
There's some inspiration that's going to happen while I'm mowing the lawn. True. And that's a valuable thing. I got to get out of here.
And so part of this discussion and what I want to talk about, I feel like we're talking a lot about the duality of holding a lot of different ideas in your head at the same time, because, that's one of the things that I think, you know, humans aren't good at, and you know, the relativity of things. And because of that, we aren't very nuanced in the way that we talk about creativity, because, there is an element of hustle and there's an element of rest, and it's okay to hold both of those ideas in unison. And that's why I thought, let's shine a light on that, because it's not getting a lot of light shined on it. So yeah, that's really good.
So the moral of the story is, don't hustle all the time. Like, hustle,
do hustle. But
know that part of the hustle is to chill out.
True. Totally true.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. I think we've got it.
That's it, huh?
You have any other final phrases, words, things you want to put out there into the universe?
I think what I want to say is, don't get so worked up if there's other things in your life more important than your art career, because there's importance to that. It's like a comedian. Like, he has to go live. Like, Louis C.K. is rich now. Like, there's not as much funny stuff happening as a rich person. So you got to live the life, and you have to go out there and experience life to actually be inspired by stuff. So it's okay to chill out. And if you can afford to take a month off, take a month off. You know, if you can, you know, give yourself a moment, like, force yourself to get away from time to time and just try it out and see if it works, and see if more inspiration comes in. Because, you know, staying busy constantly, which is pretty much most of my career, it doesn't allow room for more ideas. Mm. It just allows me to do the work, write the invoices, make the money, and then do the whole thing over again the next day.
Actually, I'm really glad you ended there, because I think that was the common thread through all three of these conversations, was that it's something that I talk about on the podcast all the time, is that, you know, an art that lacks life is dead.
Yeah.
And if you're not living, your art will have no life
and have no story
and no reality. And you do know these people that I could name a billion musicians that started doing this very authentic thing that was on the back of a life lived.
Yeah.
And then they spend the next year in the studio with tons of cash, and the next album has no life,
no conviction.
Eventually it all ends up being hip hop, because they're all partying with the, you know, hot ladies and going crazy, and it doesn't have any connection to reality. And obviously we're not at risk at that. There's not that much money, in risk in our industry. But, I think it is true that, you know, resting and enjoying life and finding things outside of creativity that inspire you and excite you, although work isn't the ultimate goal, it does ultimately, that feeds into that. And then that work that's inspired feeds back into your life too.
Totally.
And that, it's not either or. So
that's why Adele disappeared for the last few years. And now the new record is freaking fire.
That's right. Adele, if you want. Yeah. She's
Adele, we know you're listening.
She's a big fan of the podcast. 25
is great.
You know, Adele, she actually got into a massive rut and started listening to the podcast. And I think you pretty much have that to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Adele.
You're welcome. Thanks, man.
All right. Good times. That was a good old time. I need to get back and do some hangout time with my man, Brandon, if you're listening, Brandon. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for all the support. You guys have been reviewing the podcast on iTunes like mad. You've been sharing it all over the place, and I see it and I appreciate it, and it's awesome. I'm so happy to be a part of this with you. I hope you learned something on the topic of rest. I encourage you to try to strike a balance where you're working from a place of rest. Thanks, guys. You can find this show on illustrationage.com/creativepeptalk. I will speak to you soon. I've got some exciting ideas for the podcast next week and for the podcast in general. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on behind the scenes. Thank you so much. Stay pepped up, because you know what? I really do believe that success in the commercial arts has everything to do with being in the right mindset so that you can consistently hammer away at the right direction week after week, day after day, year after year. Thank you, guys.